This past week, the chief mission officer of Synod, the Reverend Gregory Williamson, was on campus for a bylaw-required annual visit. In his short time in the position of SEMO, as we now call it, Reverend Williamson has been a real blessing to the seminary and to our Synod as a whole. Prior to arriving at the International Center, he served as an Army chaplain for many years and, as a result, brings the trained eye of a strategic planner and an assessor to his work. So, towards the end of our visit, we strolled the campus. And as we strolled, we evaluated its condition. He had never been here during the summer before, and he repeatedly exclaimed, "This place is beautiful." And I said, "Well, of course." He's right. We are truly blessed to study in a place of such stunning beauty. Yet as we walked, I, being the pessimist that I am, constantly talked of the fallen creation. The grass always needs mowing, and there's sure a lot of it. The roads need repair. The roofs, let's not even talk about the roofs. And we also saw the trees being pruned. That, of course, is one of the great themes that the Lord strikes in this text this morning in John chapter 15. In one of the most familiar sections of John's familiar gospel, Jesus tells us, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Okay, good. Here's our starting point. The need for pruning assumes that branches are already growing on the tree, that the tree, in fact, is healthy, that the vine is producing shoots, shows that it is doing what it should do. And so this text makes it clear to us that as the branches, we are dependent creatures. Not one of us here resolved ourselves into life. Not one of us had a say about our coming into this world. Not one of us willed ourselves into the church. That's why Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It seems, however, though, that we get the mistaken notion in our heads that being a Christian is something we do, something we accomplish, something that is a matter of the exercise of the will. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. No. We can't. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This point is captured perfectly by Article 20 of the Augsburg Confession, which says, "For without faith, human nature can in no wise do the works of the first or of the second commandment. Without faith, it does not call upon God, nor expect anything from God, nor bear the cross, but seeks and trusts in man's help. And thus, when there is no faith and trust in God, all manner of lusts and human devices rule the heart. Wherefore Christ said, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing." And that is specifically why the Father sent the true vine into the world, to be planted and pruned on our behalf. The message of the Scriptures is of a God who loved you so much that he sent his Son into the world to fulfill the law for you, to seek and to find you, to pay for your sins, and to bring you new life by giving his life for you. All that was ours, sin and rebellion against God, was placed on him. All that is his, righteousness, purity, salvation, everlasting life, has been given to us. You, who were a renegade branch that was detached from the vine, have been engrafted into the true vine. As Paul reminds us, holy baptism is nothing more than us being attached to the true vine, Jesus Christ. And Luther, commenting on this section of John's Gospel, says this: "When I am baptized or converted by the gospel, the Holy Spirit is present. He takes me as clay and makes of me a new creature, which is endowed with a different heart, a different mind, different heart, different thoughts. That is, with a true knowledge of God and sincere trust in his grace. To summarize, the very essence of my heart is renewed and changed. This makes me a new plant, one that is grafted on Christ the vine and grows from him. My holiness, righteousness, and purity do not stem from me, nor do they depend on me. They come solely from Christ and are based only in him, in whom I am rooted in faith. Just as the sap flows from the stalk into the branches, now I am like him and of his kind. Both he and I are of one nature and essence, and I bear fruit in him and through him. The fruit is not mine. It is the vine's." Branches on a vine do not create themselves, nor do branches on a vine sustain themselves, nor do branches on a vine produce fruit of themselves. They are totally dependent upon the vine. They grow out of the vine and live only as long as they are attached to the vine. Cut off the branch and it dies. And so Jesus reminds us, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches." Or again, as we know so well, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Today, of course, is June 25. And on June 25th, 1530, the Lutheran confessors stood before Charles V, the emperor, at Augsburg and presented their confession. In so doing, they showed a fulfillment of this text, the vines remaining in the branch and producing good fruit. One of the most basic purposes of the Augsburg Confession was to show its faithful adherence to the scriptural witness as rightly confessed throughout the church, and that these now being called Lutheran, were in fact not coming up with anything new, but merely confessing what the apostolic church had always confessed. And so they start off in Article 1, affirming the Nicene Decree concerning the unity of the Godhead. And they go on to affirm the devastating effects of original sin, and of course the centrality of justification by grace through faith because of Christ. They said, "Our churches teach that the Word, that is, the Son of God, did assume human nature in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that there are two natures, the divine and the human, inseparably joined in one person, one Christ, true God and true man, who was born of the Virgin Mary, truly suffered, was crucified, dead, and buried, that he might reconcile the Father unto us and be a sacrifice, not only for original guilt, but also for all actual sins of men." They then continue, "And they also teach that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God imputes for righteousness in his sight." Continuing, they affirm that this faith is given through the preaching office, which proclaims the word rightly, administers the sacraments according to Christ's institution. This life of Christ the vine is your life and mine, and it produces the fruits of faith in us, the confession of Christ. In the end, it is all about Christ. That was the point of the Augsburg Confession. That is why we commemorate it today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.